Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
The First United Methodist Church podcast is recorded live every week at 4832 Tahunga Avenue in North Hollywood, California. Thank you for downloading.
Good morning. Today's scripture reading comes from God's Word Translation. I'll be reading Job chapter 1, verse 1, and Job chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. A man named Job lived in Uz. He was a man of integrity. He was decent, he feared God, and he stayed away from evil. One day, when the sons of God came to stand in front of the Lord, Satan, the accuser, came along with them. The Lord asked Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From wandering all over the earth." The Lord said to Satan, "Have you ever thought of my servant Job? No one in the world is like him. He is a man of integrity. He's decent. He fears God. And he stays away from evil. And he still holds on to his principles. You're trying to provoke me into ruining him for no reason." Satan answered the Lord, "Skin for skin. Certainly a man will give everything he has for his life. But stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones. I bet he'll curse you in the face." The Lord told Satan, "He is in your power, but you must spare his life." Satan left the Lord's presence and struck Job with painful boils from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Job took a piece of broken pottery to scratch himself as he sat in the ashes. His wife asked him, "Are you still holding on to your principles? Curse God and die." He said to her, "You are talking like a godless fool. We accept the good that God gives us. Shouldn't we also accept the bad?" Through all of this, Job's lips did not utter one sinful word. Amen.
Pray with me if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. By way of background of the text, scholars remind us that this is part of the wisdom literature tradition. It's also important to understand that this particular passage, even though it involves two chapters, is linked together and has three distinct sections. The first is that opening to introduce us to Job, and the second chapter uses similar language to the first, reminding us that Job is an upright and faithful person. And then the third part is the challenge by Satan, the challenge to God, along with Job's first response. What makes this interesting on a variety of levels is the inference in God's challenge to Satan is that Job is not just good, but he really digs being good. He's into this. This is what he wants to do. And the response by Satan, in my translation, it's the Satan. I maybe for a little bit for emphasis there, that if he just was given a fair and clean shot at Job. And ultimately, that is what happens. But the question behind the text is, can humans be transformed to love, to goodness, as an end in itself? And of course, that cannot be known. And discerned in heaven, it has to be lived on earth, and that's the purpose of this text. It's why is there human suffering? And it's a fairly long text, and I will tell you, I've preached twice on this passage, once about a dozen years ago and this Sunday, and I see why I don't like preaching on it. You'll get that, but prepare yourselves. I'm not going to preach anything else in October. I'm preaching two more times in October, and I'm dealing with Job because it confounds and confuses me, causes me to stretch and grow and think. And I think that's part of the purpose of Scripture as holy writ. It's there to challenge us anew. Satan's final challenge to God is, if I can just have a free rein. You know, you can take all his belongings, but stretch out your hand and touch his bone and flesh, and he will curse you to your face. Though Job stumbles, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen here, and it doesn't happen later, but that does not mean he and God don't have an ongoing dialogue. Part of the message of the text is, how do things change through behavior? Or do things change because of behavior? There's a feature in the Daily News known as This Day in History, and literally just yesterday, as life would have it, October 6th. In 1536, English theologian and scholar William Tyndale was the first to translate the Bible into modern English. First. And he was executed for heresy. You see some irony in that? Doing the work, the will, the way of God. No good deed goes unpunished. That's the message one philosopher would say. So from the sublime to maybe a little bit of the ridiculous in terms of how things change. One of my favorite holy cartoons is Lynn Johnston's For Better or For Worse. She's repurposed it. I don't know that she's... I think she's writing new dialogue to old stuff. I'm not entirely sure. Well, the first caption, she's talking to her little daughter, Elizabeth, and she says, "Elizabeth, there's nail polish all over the sink." And Elizabeth, about two, says, "It was an accident." The next one, she says, "Elizabeth, you broke my brand new tube of lipstick. It was an accident." The next one has her turning her back to her child, putting her hand up and saying, "Kids, kids, why did I ever have kids?" And behind her, Elizabeth says, "Daddy says it was an accident." From the mouths of children. You think of this. There's suffering and there's different kinds of suffering. And that's part of what this life we lead is about. What changes the game for us? We talk in sports of game changers. Pitchers are acquired. Quarterbacks are acquired because they can change the nature of the game, or supposedly so. And I believe this was Friday's paper. I'm not sure. It was the Times, and it talked about cinematic game changers. And I'm not going to read the whole article. It's not very long, but it strikes me as interesting in how people think things change, and they really don't. And the article is by Ben Fritz, and he's talking about how Hollywood production is now geared mostly towards toys and games. And specifically, he mentions the hits, the Transformers, G.I. Joe, and then the flop, Battleship. But Hasbro, the company that brought us those, has just signed a deal with an independent production company to make movies out of the board games, Hungry, Hungry Hippos, and Monopoly, and the toy Action Man. And I'm glad I wasn't the only one that found this kind of interesting. I grew up playing Monopoly, and I just don't see how they're going to do a movie. Maybe one of you screenwriters can explain that to me. But Mr. Fritz is saying, this is a game changer. And I thought, no, it isn't. It's kind of a repeat. We've already got, you know, Marvel and other comic books competing. And I think it's perhaps because the stories are simple enough that we can all get them and they can produce them and make huge profits. That's the game changer. How do we make huge profits without taking huge financial risk? And that's part and parcel of this issue in terms of how we work at these things. Well, part of the game changer here is that Job is supposed to curse God and die, according to his wife. But that would be the easy thing for him. He comes close, but he doesn't go that far. It's so easy to love God in the bright sweetness of the day. What do we do when life and all its verities comes crashing down upon us and bruises us and beats us down? Then we find out how difficult it is to feel blessed, how difficult it is to feel the belief we say we hold deep in our hearts, to love a God who does not seem to be on our side. Well, I think part of the message of Job is to remind us that life changes constantly. I'm surprised, even by myself. I'm not a person thrilled with change, but I know it's the only constant in life. And I don't know that I'm there yet, but I'm learning to accept the fact that the constant change is a spiritual challenge as much as anything. I've been fortunate enough to be with people at the end of their life. And on more than one occasion, I've had them hold my hand. Notice I'm not saying I held their hand because they were propping me up, not the other way around. I've had the opportunity for people to hold my hand and look me in the eye and say, I don't know how people who don't have faith face this, meaning the end of life. It takes some deep, deep internal spirituality to understand that God is with us through all of this, through all of the good, through all of the challenge, through all of the blessed. But at times, it's hard to feel blessed when rocks are falling on us. Part of the claim and call of Job is, what does our faith call us to do and be this day? It's a good day, but it's not over. What does our faith call us to do and be? It would seem to me that faith calls us to remain faithful, to understand that God never abandons us, even in the midst of trials and tribulations, whatever difficulties come our way, and that the faith we have in the love of Christ is ever present. That's what we say when we take the elements of grape and grain. We talk about the real presence of the love of God in these holy elements, present to us. Whatever you bring with you as baggage today, whatever is burdening you, I can't wave a magic wand and make go away. But I can tell you that God is with you. God is here. God is with us. And that is lasting. And that is true. May it ever be so.
Thank you for listening to the North Hollywood First United Methodist Church Sermon Podcast, delivered by Dr. Joey McDonald. For more information, please check out nohomethodistchurch.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter under NoHoFUMC.